And then he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and invoked Allah's blessings and salams for the Messenger of Allah and said to proceed. It is on every Muslim, male or female, to know that pregnancy alone is not something that would make permissible the breaking of the fast. Rather, the only time pregnancy is a reason, a valid reason for breaking the fast, is when it is accompanied with a difficulty or a hardship, that along with this hardship, it is not possible for the woman to fast, like a kind of an illness, for example. If the people know that, and if this is understood, then we order this woman to make up those 3 years of fasting, meaning the 3 months of Ramadan that she missed in the last 3 years. And verily Allah has made an easy way for her that she could possibly fast 3 days a month, or 4 or 5 or 10 if she is able, in every month, so that by way of this she will eventually pay back the debt that is upon her.
هذا السؤال الثاني والأربعون يا شيخ من جزر الكاريبي. يقول: رجل نوى الحج عن نفسه هذا العام بعد أن حج فريضة من قبل، والآن يسأل هل يحج هذه السنة بدلا عن جدته، فهل يجوز له تغيير نيته وماذا عليه؟
ما دام أنه لم يحرم فله تغيير نيته، إما أن ينوي عن نفسه أو عن ميت من أمواته المسلمين كالأم والأب والجدة والعم والعمة والخال والخالة وهكذا.
A question about the permissibility of changing one's intention for Hajj at this time. The questioner asks: I have intended to make Hajj for my own self this year, and then I have also been requested to make Hajj, or the possibility of making Hajj, on behalf of my grandmother, Jeddah, right? On my grandmother. And is it possible, since I have already intended now to make Hajj for myself, that I can change the intention at this time? And the Shaykh responded by saying, so long as the ihram has not been assumed, the person has not entered into the state of ihram, he may change his intention to make his intention for himself or for one of the dead members of his family, like his mother or his father or his grandmother or his uncle or his aunt or the likes. Question number 43. About 5 years ago, Allah had guided me to the truth and I accepted Islam. I met my father when I was 16. I had never been married to my mother, was a Muslim by the time we got in contact, alhamdulillah. I researched this topic for the last few weeks because I got informed that my father is not considered to be my father, as he and my mom had committed zina. Back then he was not a Muslim. I found the difference of opinion regarding this matter and I'm very confused, as it can make my father, my father, and me both fall into major sins. I have been told that you hold the opinion that in this situation of a child from zina, the daughter may even marry the man who is her father. سؤال شيخنا عن حكم من أسلم، يعني امرأة أسلمت وأمها أسلمت وأمها يعني هي بنت زينة قبل الإسلام في الجاهلية، ثم استقامت البنت والأم ويعني تخافا من علاقة الوالد أو ما كان تظن أنه الوالد، ولكن إيش حكم الرجل هذا الآن بالنسبة للبنت هذه؟
نقول لك يا بنتي: الحمد لله الذي هداك ووالدتك إلى الإسلام، ونسأل الله أن يثبتكما أنت وأمك على الإسلام والسنة. وأما ذاك الرجل الذي ولدتك أمك منه من غير نكاح شرعي فليس أبا لك، أنت نسميك مثلا ميمونة بنت عبد الله هكذا، هذا اسمك من عندي، ميمونة بنت عبد الله، أو زينب بنت عبد الله، أو عائشة بنت عبد الله، حفصتني طلبت عبد الله. فهذه الأسماء بينك أنت والوالدة، اختاري اسما منها وتختار الوالدة اسما، وهذا الرجل لا علاقة لك به، لا علاقة لك به. لكن إذا أسلم وحسن إسلامه فلأمك أن تتزوجه، ويصير في هذه الحال محرما لك لأنه زوج أمك. نعم.
The response from the Sheikh is that he praised Allah, the one who guided you and your mother to Islam, and he made dua for you to be granted firmness and stability upon Islam and upon the Sunnah. As for this man, then this man is not to be considered your father. You should name yourself Maymuna, the daughter of Abdullah, Maymuna bint Abdullah, or Hafsa, or Fatima. Choose a name with your mother, and this name will be between you and her. However, this man at this time has no relationship to you. This man has no relationship to you. However, if this man accepts Islam and establishes himself in Allah's deen, then your mother may marry this man. And if she marries this man at this time, then he would be considered a male family member of yours, because he would be the husband of your mother, your stepfather.
وهذا السؤال الرابع والأربعون تسأل عن كشف شعر الرأس أمام خال زوجها علما أنه غير مسلم، خال أم زوجها علما أنه غير مسلم.
يا بنتي، خال زوجك أو خال أمه وعم زوجك أو عم أمه ليسوا محارم، سواء كانوا مسلمين أو كفارا، فاحتجبي منهم. محرمك أبو زوجك أو جده، هذا هو محرمك. نعم.
The questioner asked about a woman and the permissibility of uncovering her hair in front of her husband's grandmother's brother, who is not a Muslim. The Sheikh responded by saying, the husband or the brother of your grand, you know, the husband's grandmother's brother is not a mahram for you, is not a male family for you. Thus you must cover around him. The uncle of your mother or the uncle of your wife, these are not your mahrams. These are not the male family members that you are allowed to relax your hijab around. The father of your wife, the father of your husband, the grandfather, these are your male family members, your close male family members, your mahrams, that you can relax your hijab around. الشيخ سائلة تسأل عن أختها تتزوج قريبا إن شاء الله، وحسب عادتها هناك مناسبة قبل الزواج وقبل النكاح، واجتماع النساء واستعمال الحناء، وفيه تسوير للنساء وفيه الرقص والموسيقى، وحاولت أن أمنعها منها ولكن بلا نجاح، فهل أحضر هذه المناسبة مع وجود هذه المنكرات؟ وسؤال طويل يا شيخ، ولكن أظن هذا يعني إيه.
أقول ما ذكرته من إقامة وليمة من أجل الحنة والزينة قبل ليلة الزفاف، هذا من المحدثات، بدعة، هذا بدعة. والسنة وليمة العرس، والأصل أن تكون قبل الدخول، الأصل أن تكون بعد الدخول. لكن اعتاد الناس، أعني المسلمين، أن تكون الوليمة قبل الدخول في الليل أو في النهار، لا بأس بذلك. بقي ما ذكرته من منكرات، منها الغنى والموسيقى والتصوير. بلغي أبويك، الوالد والوالدة، وأختك مني السلام، وأن ما يفعلونه منكر من المنكرات ومعصية لله ورسوله، غناء وموسيقى وتصوير للنساء حرام منكر. فإن قبلوا منك فهذا هو المطلوب، وإن رفضوا فإن كنت متزوجة ومستقلة عنهم فلا تحضري في وجود المنكرات، واحضري تطيبا لخاطرهم قبلها أو بعدها. وإن كنت في بيت أبيك ولا بد لك من الحضور فاعتزل المكان نفسه الذي تقام فيه هذه المنكرات، لكن أنا واثق إن شاء الله أنك إذا بلغتهم مني السلام ونصيحتي لهم بأن لا يفعلوا هذه المنكرات، وأنهم إن فعلوها كانوا عصاة لله ولرسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم، سيقبلون إن شاء الله تعالى.
Question number 45 was the question from a sister whose sister is getting married, and they plan to have a gathering before they get married. Exactly the phrase of the question. Sister is going to get married soon, inshallah. She wants to hold a Mahdi. This is the kind of gathering the bride's relatives and friends before the one takes place, in which henna is applied to the hands of the bride. In this, photos will be taken and there will be music and dancing. I have tried to stop this, but to no avail. And then she asks what to do in this situation. The sheikh replied by saying, what you have mentioned in terms of the usage of henna and the beautification or the dressing up of the women before the marriage, then this is an innovative matter. This is something introduced to Islam. It's an innovation. And the sunnah is to have the walima til urs, the wedding party. And that is to be done, according to the sunnah, after the man and the wife come together and stay together. And this, recently, the people have begun to do this before the consummation of the marriage, by a night or by a day. As for the evil things that you have mentioned, that will be part of this gathering, like the taking of pictures and the usage of music and the dancing, then please convey to your parents my salams and convey to them that I say this is a very evil thing, this is a bad thing, this is disobedience to Allah, and this is a contradiction to His Sharia, the music and the singing and the dancing and the picture taking. And this is, if they accept this from me, and if they accept this from you, then this is good expected from them. However, if they refuse to follow this advice, then if you are living separate from them, then do not attend this gathering. However, you can attend to show support for the marriage before or after such a gathering. You can visit. However, if you are you live in the house with your parents, then you can attend such a gathering, being that you wouldn't have another choice. Attend the gathering, however, stay away from the place, the actual place at the gathering, the actual site of the evil events that are happening. However, I believe, I trust that if you convey this advice the right way and warn them against the prohibited affairs, I trust that they will accept this and that they will heed this warning and they will follow what they know is right, inshallah.
هذا السؤال 46 من سائلة بعد السلام عليكم والدعاء لكم يا شيخ بارك الله فيك. تقول زوجي لا يقبل السفر معي لزيارة أمي في بلاد أخرى، ويقول لي اذهبي وحدك مع بناتك، مع أنه يعرف حق المعرفة أنه لا يجوز السفر بدون محرم، فماذا تنصحونني بارك الله فيكم، مع أنه ذهب معي فيما قبل من قبل ولكن الآن يصر على عدم الذهاب لمثل هذه البلاد العربية، أفيدوني بارك الله فيكم.
وعليك السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا بنتي، وشكر الله لك هذا الدعاء، ونسأله أن يصلح حالنا وحالك ومآلنا ومآلك. أقول بلغ زوجك مني السلام، وأن لا يتركك تسافرين بلا محرم، لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يحل لامرأة تؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر أن تسافر مع غير ذي محرم. ولا تلحي على زوجك، خذي منه جوده في هذا، استطاعته، فإن تيسر سفره معك فهذا هو المطلوب، وإلا فاطلبي محرما غيره. فإن لم يتيسر هذا ولا ذاك فالهاتف يكفي، يكفي، تسلمين على الوالدة حسب قدرتك وقدرة زوجك مرتين ثلاث في الشهر، فإن يعني مجرد زيارة الوالدة ليس مسوغا. نعم إذا كانت مريضة وتحتاج منك إلى خدمة ولا تستغني عنك، أو كانت في حال يخشى عليها، فلا مانع أن تسافري في هذه الحال، وإن لم يتيسر الزوج ولا المحرم، لأنك مضطرة في هذه الحال، والضرورة معتبرة. أما مجرد أسعى للوالدة أو معايدتها أو غير ذلك من الأمور فهذه لا تسوغ لك يا بنتي السفر بلا محرم أو زوج. نعم.
Question number 46. The questioner gave Salam a dua for him and said that her husband will not travel with me to the land that my parents live in for me to visit them. And I have visited them with him before, however, these days he is not cooperating, or he will not travel with me. The Shaykh responded to the salams and asked Allah to thank her and to reward her for her dua. And he asked Allah to correct all of our affairs inwardly and outwardly. And he said, to convey to your husband my salams and to tell him that it is good for you to travel without your... I'm sorry, I missed in the question as well, that my husband is allowing me to travel without any mahram, without himself or anyone else. So the Shaykh said that tell him it's not permissible for you to travel without a mahram. And he said, due to the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's not permissible for a woman who believes in Allah and the last day to make a travel without a mahram, without a close male relative. So if you can wait for him and be easy with him and go with him when it's easy for him to travel, then that's good. However, if he's not able to go at all, or if you cannot wait for him, then seek another mahram. Seek to take another male family member, a close male relative with you, other than him. And if you cannot do either of these two, then the telephone is sufficient. You can perhaps call your parents two or three times a month, sufficient for the basic idea of keeping ties. However, if your mother is sick, or if one of your parents is need your assistance and they cannot do without you, and this is a necessity to have you with them, then you may, in this case, travel without a mahram. You may travel without a mahram in this case to fulfill this necessity, because you are compelled to do so out of necessity, And this necessity is something which is considerable in the Islamic rulings. However, just to give salams or to keep general ties, then traveling without a mahram is not permissible in that case.
أحسن الله عليكم شيخنا وهذا السؤال السابع الأربعون سائلة تقول ما هو الرابط الطلاق الخلعي مع العلم أنني أعيش في بلد غير مسلم ولا يوجد فيه قاض أو محكمة إسلامية
أولا يا بنتي أنصحك أنت وزوجك بحسن العشرة وأن يتقي الله كل ما في صحبه واعلمي أنت وهو أن كل رحمانه في عنق صاحبه يسأله يوم القيامة يسأله الله عنه يوم القيامة فإن ضيعت حقوق زوجك فأنت ستسألين عن ذلك يوم القيامة وإن هو ظلمك وضيع حقوقك فسوف يسأل فأنصحكما أن تبقيا مع بعضكما في حسن عشرة وتقوى لله وخشية له وأن تتسامح وأن يعفو كل منكما عن الآخر فالطلاق يا بنتي ليس من الأمر السهل وأنت لم تذكري بلدك الذي أنت فيه لكن إن كنت في بريطانيا فأنصحك أن تذهبي أنت وزوجك إلى المكتبة السلفية في برمنغهام لتصلح بينكم أنت وزوجك فإن لم يكن الصلح فاذهبوا إلى إخوة من المسلمين يكتبون ما بينك وبين زوجك فتدفعين له مالا ليطلقك هذا هو الخلع ونحن نحب ألا تفترقا نحب أن تبقيا مع بعضكما وأن تدوم عشرتكما على تقوى من الله وخوف منه وخشية الله نعم.
Question number 47 was about the rulings of the khula for the woman who requests a divorce from her side. For those women who live in a land that is not ruled by the Sharia or is not ruled by the Islamic legislation. The Sheikh responded by saying that I advise you and your husband, that you live well with each other, that you treat each other nicely, that you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of the affairs that exist between the two of you, and that you know, that you have knowledge that each and every one of you is a trust placed upon the shoulders of each other. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask each and every one of you about the rights of the other one upon you on the day of judgment. If the woman was oppressive and did not give the man his rights, then she will be asked by Allah on the day of judgment about this. And if the man is oppressive and does not give the woman her rights, then he will be asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about this. So upon you both is to be good and in your living with each other and to be kind to each other. And to have taqwa, to fear Allah, and to be submissive to Allah, and to pardon one another, to excuse each other for the mistakes that you make and for your transgressions. And know, my dear sister, that divorce is no easy matter. Divorce is not something to be taken lightly. And since you have not mentioned which land you live in, I say to you, if you live in the, in Britain, then I say that you should go to the Al-Maktaba al-Salafi, a Salafi publications, and to seek some help from them in making, in correcting or reconciling the affairs that have gone wrong between you. And if you cannot accomplish this islah and this correction or reconciliation, then go to some of the Muslims and have a contract written where you will give some of your wealth to this man and receive a khula. However, I admonish you and I advise you, and I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you to stay upon the taqwa of Allah and to stay together in goodness.
هذا شيخ السؤال الثامن والأربعون. تقول أن أختها ما كانت مسلمة من قبل وكانت على علاقة غير شرعية بشخص وحملت منه ثم أسلمت وأسلم الرجل وتزوجت الرجل هذا
أسلم الرجل
نعم وتزوجت. فيريدون يعرف من حقوق هذا الطفل وهل لها أن تعمل لها عقيقة. عمره الآن سنة هذا الطفل. يا شيخ
العلم الرجل يعني إسلامه إما قديم وإما من الولادة يعني لم يكن يسلم معها إيه؟ يعني صاحبها كان مسلما من الأول وهي التي يعني أسلمت قبل سنة
تزوجها بعد إسلامها.
أي
نعم.
أه؟
نعم.
تزوجها
بعد إسلامها.
أولا يا بنتي ما دامت أختك قد من الله عليها بالإسلام فبشريها أن الإسلام يجب ما قبله يهدم ما قبله من المعاصي. وثانيا فهمنا أن أختك تزوجت ذلك الرجل الذي حملها بعلاقة غير شرعية قبل الإسلام وتزوجها بعد الإسلام بعد إسلامها. النكاح صحيح ما دام أنها قد أسلمت وتزوجها ذلك الرجل بعد إسلامها بسنة فالظاهر أنه تزوجها بعد إسلامها وولادة ذلك الطفل ثالثا الطفل ابنها فهي ترثه وحقوقها عليه وحقوقه عليها ومن حقوقه عليها لأنها والدته العقيقة إن استطاعت. وأما الرجل فإن الطفل لا ينسب إليه لا ينسب أبدا هو ابنها فقط ولا يسمى ابنا لذلك الرجل. نعم.
The question that was asked, question number 48, a questioner asked on behalf of her sister who has accepted Islam a year ago, and since that time she has she had a relationship before her Islam with a man who was a Muslim, and she was pregnant from this man from a relationship before her Islam. And then after her Islam, this man has married her. So what is the ruling on this marriage, and what is the ruling on making an aqiqah for the child, slaughtering a sheep for the child, or two sheep for the child? The Shaykh said, firstly, give glad tidings to your sister, since she has accepted Islam, that Islam, the virtue of Islam, will wipe out the sins that have come, that came before it. Secondly, what I have understood here is that she has married this man who had a relationship with her that was not an Islamic relationship, meaning not in marriage, outside of marriage, before her Islam. Her marriage after her Islam is a valid an effective marriage. It is considered valid in Islam. And I understood this to be after the birth of the child that was from the pregnancy of this premarital relationship. So then the child in this case is her son, and he would inherit from her, and he has all of the rights of a son between the son and the mother. And from those rights is that the child is to be given an aqiq, or sheep are slaughtered for the newborn child. And the man here is not to be considered the child's father, ever. Rather, the child is to be considered the daughter of the mother alone.
السلام عليكم شيخنا. هذا السؤال التاسع والأربعون. يقول إذا أذنبت وأخبرت شخص ما عن هذا الذنب، هل هذا صحيح إن الله سبحانه وتعالى لا يغفر لي يعني شخص آخر عن هذا الذنب؟ وقد قال لي بعضهم هذا الكلام.
كان الواجب عليك ألا تخبر أحدا وأن تستتر بستر الله، لكن ما دمت أخبرت وتريد أن تتوب إلى الله فتب، فإن كبائر الذنوب تكفرها التوبة سواء أخبرت أحدا أو لم تخبر. ونسأل الله أن يحفظنا وإياك من كل سوء، يحفظنا وإياك والسامعين والسامعات من كل سوء في الدنيا والآخرة.
Question number 49. What is the case, someone about, is it true that I will not be forgiven for such a sin? That you not tell anyone about a sin you committed, and that you keep the sin that you have done in private a secret. However, in this case, you want to make tawbah, and you want to repent from this sin and from this mistake, then make tawbah, because tawbah, repentance, is something that will wipe out the sins. So make tawbah, make repentance from the act of telling another person about the sin that you have committed as well. And then the Shaykh made dua. He supplicated for all of us, for you specifically, and for all of us, that we be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that he grant us security or safety in this life and in the hereafter.
هذه الشيخ صاحبة السؤال الثامن الأربعون. لا لا الثامن الأربعون الذي معطف العمر سنة. هذا الرجل تقول هي زوج أختها. هو لا يعني هو مسلم لكنه لا يصلي يا شيخ، يجلس بالشهور ما يصلي. ايش نصيحتكم له ونصيحتكم لأختي؟
اولا بلغي اختك واطلبي ان تبلغ زوجها مني السلام، وأنه ليس مسلما ما دام أنه يترك الصلاة، فإن تاب وصلى الصلوات كل صلاة في وقتها وحافظ على الجمعة فهو مسلم وهي زوجته، وإن أبى فإنها لا تحل له ولا يحل لها ما دام على هذه الحال، فتارك الصلاة كافر. نعم.
An additional point of information regarding question number 48, the question previous, before the last one. The situation was again the one who asked about the woman who had a relationship before her Islam, and then she was pregnant, and then she accepted Islam and then married this man. Information was added that this man is a Muslim, however he has not prayed, or he does not pray, and he hasn't prayed for months. He goes months without praying. The Shaykh responded by saying, convey to your sister and to her husband my salams, and inform her husband that so long as you do not pray, then you are not considered a Muslim, that your Islam is not valid, and thus the marriage is not valid. So if you were to establish the salat, the five daily prayers, and keep, take care of salat of Jum'ah, then you will remain her husband. However, if you were to abandon the salat, then the one who abandons the salat is not a Muslim.
أحسن عليكم شيخنا. وهذا السؤال الخامسون والأخير. يقول السائل: ما حكم العمل كإداري أو ما شابه ذلك في المحاكم التي تحكم بالقوانين الوضعية، علما أنها في جانب المواريث وغيره وما شابهه تحكم بالشريعة الإسلامية؟
ما دام عملك مجرد إدارة ولا تشارك في الحكم بالقوانين، أرجو أنه لا بأس بذلك عليك إن شاء الله. وإن وجدت عملا خيرا منه بعيدا عن هذه المحاكم فانتقل إليه، فإن ذلك أحوط لدينك وعرضك. نعم.
The question is about working for the government, a government which does not implement Islam, not an Islamic government, or a court system, yeah. And the court system does distributes the wealth of the dead people to, you know, distributes the estate of the deceased in accordance with Islamic laws. The Sheikh responded by saying, so long as you're working in administration and that you have no part in the ruling of a court of such a place with rulings other than the rulings of the Sharia, then you can keep such a job. However, it's better for you if you can find a job other than this. Look for a job which is better than this, and this will be better for you. And this is the 50th question and the last.